Yeah, talking about eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys. When hands are full, never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock, or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by BlackRifleCoffee.com. Put down the water and grab a fucking drink. Drink.
Wow, D'Anthony.
Howdy.
I am in front of you in San Antoine.
I could literally reach out and touch your dick right now.
Why am I here?
Well,
we went yard. We went big at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, so in August, before we even knew anything about anything, we predicted, well,
August 7th to be exact.
August 7th, yeah. So we predicted that Clemson would win the national championship.
Correct.
And they have done so.
Yes. Sponsor, MyBookie, had just signed on to do the show and said, hey, guys, sports gambling is legalized in all 50 states. Congratulations. And at that point, it was, I believe, $100 down to $4,000 down, doubled your deposit.
Yeah, and they brought us down to $3,000 because we were literally butt-fucking their entire system.
Crushing them.
Yeah.
But you and I, because it was our first kind of toe into the water with my bookie, we bet it all on Clemson at 6-1. And, here's the fucked up thing. Is the following weekend, we bet hard, but not as hard, obviously, on the World Series, which ended up being Red Sox Dodgers.
Yep.
You called it in the exact games.
Yeah, five
games.
You won
more money than I did off of that. The only thing that we've missed so far was the way too early NFL predictions.
Well, I said Rams and...
You're still in it, actually.
Rams-Chiefs was my pick.
I went Falcons and Steelers.
Yeah.
But again, way too early predictions. Matt Ryan ended up having a fucking lights out.
He had a better year this year than he did in his MVP
when he was
season.
MVP. Yeah.
How fucked
it's
up
crazy,
is that?
Crazy, but we didn't have a defense. Everybody got hurt. I think eight starters ended up on injured reserve. And then the Steelers, who could predict what happened with Le'Veon Bell and obviously the Antonio Brown situation?
Yeah.
Super fucking weird.
Yeah, we'll see if he's even back next year with the Steelers. I would be surprised if he is.
How do you give up the best wide receiver in
I don't
the
know,
NFL?
But I mean, shit, they gave up the best running back in the NFL because they didn't pay him. So what the fuck, man?
I have a different theory on running backs now. After this Le'Veon Bell year, where look, James Conner came in, crushed it.
He did well.
He got hurt.
He did well.
Jalen Samuels came in. It looked fantastic. I think now he did more disservice to himself and brought more attention on that position to the league that if I'm an NFL GM, I'm not dropping the hammer as far as money goes on a starting running back because there's too many great kids out of college. You look at this past weekend, right? Or the past 2 weeks of college. Both Clemson running backs were probably pros. Alabama's running backs are going to be superstars.
I think they're all going to come out next year or the year after.
Yeah, dude.
All four of them.
Both Ohio State running backs. Dobbins and Weber. Weber just left early. That's six running backs who are going to be starting in the NFL.
Yeah.
You're fine. Run those guys into the ground through their rookie contracts and then get new ones. The ones that are the hardest to replace are great quarterbacks defenders. Mm. Wide receivers have still been hit and miss where it's, you know, you still have to have a pretty big body and size-wise. You got to be
for longevity, yeah,
yes,
for sure.
For
yeah.
longevity.
Yeah.
You got to be like a Julio Jones or an AJ Green or
and all, it that seems type like a body. Lot it seems like a lot more receivers than any other skill position have some kind of mental health issue. Or they're just assholes or something.
Throughout the dawn of time.
Like, I don't know what the deal with that is. Like, OBJ, like, shut the fuck up and play, brother.
You know he wasn't hurt either, right?
No, fuck no, he wasn't hurt. And did you see Rose for Clemson?
Like, oh, Justin Rose?
He's the new OBJ.
Dropping
like he's one-handed catches. Like, two like one-handed
it's his
catches.
Fucking job. The kid's barely 19 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he's a true freshman, too.
Since we're on that subject, I want to talk about the national championship. Because, again, we called this, we won a ton of money, and your only caveat was this. Hey, man, we'll go all in on the national title pick before the season starts way too early. Just come down and rage in San Antonio. And I was like, all right, great. Because we'd agreed a long time ago, because we've looked at the schedule throughout the year and said, all right, here's the games we should probably hit.
Yeah.
Some teams ended up being shitty. We didn't go to those games.
Yep.
The one game that was off of our list from day one was Santa Clara.
Yeah, because fuck that, man. Yes. I mean, I've actually, when I worked in as a private security contractor, I did some threat assessment assistance when they were building that stadium. So I've lived around there before. There's nothing in me wanted to go there again.
It's a nightmare. One, two. If you looked closely, you know they didn't sell out like yeah, half right? of the upper deck.
Yeah.
And what they did was it, yeah. they turn off the lights in those sections.
Yeah.
Which I've never seen done before. Where I was like, oh, that's a clever little Hollywood trick.
They do that in the Raiders stadium all the time. They cover those top baseball stadiums.
Usually they do it with a piece of tarp or
yeah. Like a logo
the
tarp
Rays
or
are
something.
Doing
yeah.
it this year. The
well, the Rays, they should just, the Rays should just cover their entire fucking stadium.
God damn
actually,
it.
What they should do is drive a fucking dump truck in there full of fucking TATP or some kind of explosive and just blow that motherfucker up.
Yeah.
Because no one gives a fuck about baseball down there.
No one. Look, Tampa as a sports city as a whole, look, it's an old folks community. They're asleep by, you know, they're going the early bird special at 5. They're asleep by yeah. 6. Or you've got a meth community, which is like James Franco and Spring Breakers. Spring break. Spring break. Yeah. Either way, they're not going to see a fucking football game there.
No, not unless it's at like 9 o'clock in the morning or something.
No, not at all. But we'd crossed that off our list. And you said, hey, man, instead, I'll go all in with you. It'll be a fun thing for the sports show. And just come down to San Antonio to party. I said, look, I'll get on the flight the next day. Boom. Here I am. We're less than 24 hours after the national championship. I'm not going to reveal how much money we won because it was disgusting.
Yeah.
But
it was a good season.
Clemson absolutely pulled down the panties of Bama and fucked them in the ass. I thought Clemson was going to win. I did not expect them to win in such a blowout fashion.
No.
There was a, because look, we've had a lot of success on this show picking games and all this stuff. I got a lot of drinking bros who hit me up and said, hey man, right before the game, who you betting?
I got a bunch of those too, yeah.
Same. And I said, look, I'm still going with Clemson.
I said by
5.5.
I said by 3.
Yeah, it's the same. And so,
I was like, I think it's Clemson by 3. That's
what I
thought.
I told all the drinking bros, because we've always been honest all year long. I said, hey man, I think this is going to be too close to call, and it might be a last possession game.
Yeah,
throw a little bit on it because that's what I did just to keep it interesting. I mean, obviously we had our bet at the beginning of the season, but there's nothing that we could do about that. Like once that's locked in for the year. Congratulations! Like just hope for the best.
Yeah,
with my money last night, I put a little bit on it, but not a lot because I didn't know what the fuck was going to happen, and I thought it was a one possession game.
I did too.
When they stomped them out like that,
yeah.
Holy shit. I mean, it made me reevaluate the entire season of, you know, you're
both
sold.
Teams.
Yeah, exactly. And you're sold on a bill of goods by ESPN every fucking week about how great the SEC is and Paul Feinbaum. Fuck Paul Feinbaum. Not only did he hate every other team besides the SEC, but then he hated Clemson the night before the game.
Yeah, he
and
was
he said they will
shit.
Never do anything against Alabama's defense and a freshman quarterback and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, he wrote this tweet, and I told him to go fuck himself after. It was like, wow, I can't believe that happened. No, Paul, you can't believe anything could happen outside the SEC. You
no,
dumb
that guy's
fuck.
A fucking retard, man. I mean,
hate that guy.
He's
a rape candidate, by the way.
Has he been
Right? Maybe.
No, has he been correct at any point during the season?
Well, you know, look.
Like, he went hard after Urban Meyer at the beginning of the season saying he's definitely going to get fired, blah, blah,
fraud.
Blah.
Fraud. He did this, blah, blah, blah. Didn't get fired.
Like 2 hours after the fucking news conference.
It was ruthless. Yeah. And all because, truthfully, he left the SEC.
Yeah.
He left Florida. And another drinking bro hit me up. James Burton hit me up and was just like, hey, man, you realize Feinbaum is a fucking Tennessee guy. And I said, no, I didn't know he went to Tennessee. Now it makes all the sense in the world.
He matriculated from that university is what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, he matriculated from the Tennessee Volunteers. And, hey, let me go ahead and volunteer your program to the fucking toilet because Tennessee has been awful since T. Martin.
I mean, 18 years now, I think, yeah.
You're looking at like a horrific program that was once a big time. They remind me of a Nebraska. Where they had some glory years. 80s, 90s was their jam. Right around 2000, they just petered out, and that's it. And they can't recover.
It was probably 9/11. Do you think?
That was it for you. 9/11 was it for you, my man. That's when you said, I'm going to Penn State, and I don't care if I get touched by Sandusky. 9/11.
No, I touched Sandusky. Look, here's the thing, guys. If you get caught in some kind of compromising position, always turn it on the other person. Like, somebody starts sexually harassing you, you go way harder at them. That's my advice to women. If you start acting really creepy, hang on a second.
Jared Taylor's going to step in. By the way, we just flew into San Antonio. This is live. We're in Jared Taylor's house.
Yeah, here, take it over.
Give it to him. Yeah.
I'm saying, you always out-crazy the crazy.
Yeah.
That means if you're dealing with a crazy chick, offer her a ring. A trip to Barbados. Right there. You just go hard in the paint and go, why don't we change our last names to your last name?
Oh, I love that.
That's it. It's just right there. You freak them out more.
You know what's
fun? You know what? I saw this experimental medical thing they were doing in Peru where I give you my blood and you give me yours. It's like a blood swap transfusion. Doesn't matter if we're compatible.
No.
We're going to do it because we're in love.
Yeah.
It could kill us, but we're willing.
You just described Tennessee fans, Notre Dame fans.
Oh, Notre Dame fans. Give me a fucking break with this guy.
And Browns fans.
Here's the other thing. So, yeah, we had this bet at the beginning of the season where Ross was committed to come here and rage if we won, and we won because I knew we would. The other part of this is that we had the ESPN fantasy leagues this year. We had the two leagues, mine and Ross's. Ross won his. Jesse won mine. Fucking bitch. And Ross won.
I narrowly lost. I got fucked in my league because Todd Gurley sat out.
Todd Gurley,
I lost by 10.
But you won.
Gurley.
You won the underdog league, and the bet was for that one that the winner was going to get a signed Rudy Rudiger jersey.
Yeah, from Notre Dame.
From the real Rudy, not Sean Astin.
By the way, I was going to give it to the guy and just say, hey, man, congratulations. Thanks for playing. It's been fun. Because we've been doing.
You're talking about the guy you beat.
We've had a giveaway every single week.
Yeah.
For fuck how many?
Forever, yeah.
3 or 4 months of this?
So you were saying that you were going to give it away to the guy who you beat in that league.
Correct.
But because this one Notre Dame fan, Kalen
Catrone,
is such a delusional piece of shit.
Yeah.
That we decided to burn the fucking jersey.
So we're burning it.
We're going to burn it.
And all of us are here, because since I flew out to San Antonio, all of us are here. So me, Jared, Matt, Evan, Dan, all of us are going to burn this Notre Dame jersey on a campfire on Thursday night. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
But after this national title game, I reevaluated everything, to be honest with you.
Looking back on it,
all this SEC bullshit, like especially with Paul Feinbaum.
Yeah.
With Alabama and Georgia.
Paul Feinbaum, he's like the Don Lemon of fucking sports.
The worst.
Fuck that guy.
The goddamn worst. But you look at the way Georgia got dismantled by Texas. And then you look at the way
Alabama got
dismantled. I mean, Alabama got crushed by Clemson.
At no point did they look comfortable at all at any point during the game. Usually you'll see
Saban called a fake field goal. When does that happen?
With the holder for the lead blocker, right?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
He got steamrolled. There was no chance of that play developing or even being remotely successful.
No, it was really bizarre. Not what you would expect out of a Saban coach game. I mean, typically you'll see the commentators mentioned this a number of times. You'll see Tua or Saban have a couple of series in a row where they seem out of sorts, but then they make adjustments. That never happened last night.
Right.
Like, they scored 16 points within the first however many minutes and didn't score again for the rest of the fucking game.
It was like
game.
14. Yeah. And that was it. The rest of the game, they were scoreless. And the crazy part about that was, you know, the last two –
towards the end of the third and all of the fourth, Clemson had nothing to play for at that point except for pride. And those motherfuckers stayed in there.
Lawrence started running the ball at that point.
Dude, all of their starters stayed in and said, fuck you, you're not scoring. They stopped Bama, what, inside the five twice?
Twice, yeah.
On four down territory, yep. Where you were just like, no, fuck you. This is pride. We're going to bury your dicks in the dirt, and that's it. We're all done with the Bama talk for a long goddamn time and the SEC talk. And it was amazing to see. But again, when I talked about reevaluating the entire season after last night, I really went through all the standings for all the leagues. Here's what my conclusion was, and you can tell me if I'm accurate on this.
Okay.
SEC was, I believe it was 6-5 or 6-6.
Something like
bowl
that,
games.
Yeah.
Big Ten, 6-5. Most of the conferences pretty much.
I think the ACC was like 4-6 or something like that. They didn't do too well.
Yeah.
But everybody was right around 500. Nobody really showed
Nobody was dominant. Yeah. And that's that was my biggest takeaway from not only this bowl season, but this college football season is all of these conferences to me are top heavy. The Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
It was Ohio State and really no one else. Michigan, not only did they get crushed by Ohio State, but they got crushed in the bowl game by Florida. And all their players quit on Harbaugh. Now, right now, Ohio State's taking all their defensive coordinators. And I mean, it's
really getting weird. Yeah, I wonder if more people are going to leave Michigan before like
the only thing
spring
that
camp starts.
Because they said Harbaugh's on vacation, and I'm using air quotes for that. How are you on vacation magically during NFL hiring season and while Ohio State is raiding your fucking kitchen cabinet with a new coach? I don't understand any of that. I'm not going to bag on Michigan the rest of the show, but like that team is definitely rebuilding. I don't know how they come back from this season. But you look at the Big Ten, to me, the rest of the Big Ten was shitty except for Ohio State. If you look at the SEC, besides Alabama, the rest of the SEC was shitty except for Alabama. You look at the ACC, besides Clemson, the rest of the ACC is shitty.
Yeah.
You even look at the Pac,
Georgia was okay.
They were okay, but were they? Look, they lost to Alabama.
That's
they lost to LSU with a I mean, they got housed by LSU.
My brother,
Ohio State's third string quarterback.
My brother actually made a comment yesterday on Intricate Bro Sports that Clemson and Alabama were so clearly better than everybody else. Everybody's bitching about who got in at 3-4, but does it really even matter?
No, that was the other thing I kept thinking last night was, look, as an Ohio State fan, would I've loved to say, yeah, Ohio State might have had a shot in there. Maybe because they have a big arm quarterback like Lawrence.
Yeah.
Maybe, look, Haskins had 50 fucking touchdowns. He's the first quarterback in the NFL draft. Maybe, but was their defense good enough to hold up with Alabama? Probably not. So
it definitely wasn't good enough to hold up.
Do I think the top two teams made it?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
And I don't believe in all that Alabama got exposed bullshit. No, they got beat by a better team. That's it.
That's it.
That's all it is. Alabama's clearly better than the other 23 teams in the top 25, except for Clemson. Clearly.
Right.
They're clearly better than all those other teams.
Yeah, and that's the way I look at it as well. But, you know, I also look at it as is cyclical. Like, it goes by – all of college football is pretty goddamn simple. It just goes by coaches. Whoever the hot coach is for that period of years is how good your teams are. You go back, and this is just recently to me in the last 15, 20 years. You go back, Urban Meyer had his run, Florida, back-to-back national championships, Ohio State, and then Saban comes in, crushes. Now it's Dabo Sweeney's time. Mm-hmm. Who's the next guy up after Dabo Sweeney? I don't know, because I'm looking at this Clemson team after that game last night with Lawrence.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get beat for the next 2 years.
For 2 years,
can't even come out for another 2 years.
And the same for they have a sophomore running back and a freshman running back, and then Justin Rose is a fucking freshman.
He's a freshman.
Too. Yeah.
So,
and
I mean,
by the way, to speak to your point, and I meant to bring this up earlier, but to speak to your point about, and you say this all the time, that college football is all about coaches.
Yes.
So Justin Rose is an Alabama native. He was the number one recruit out of Alabama last year, out of the state of Alabama, and he's in Clemson University, and that's because of Dabo Sweeney.
Yes.
That's why.
And if you're telling me there's not something in the water down in Clemson of what he's doing or what he's pitching these kids, and I think, again, it's cyclical. I think every coach has had that magic for a certain number of years, and then a new guy comes in and takes over, And that's what college football is. And it's
Saban's been around for a minute, though. What's he got, 7 national championships?
Yeah, that would have been his 7th last night. So he's got 6. But here's the thing is, like, with Lincoln Riley. Like, mm-hmm. I see a Lincoln Riley out there at Oklahoma, and I'm like, all right, cool. To me, he could have it in a couple of years.
I think it's Ohio State.
I look, Ryan Day looks stacked. Their team looks stacked. Justin Fields and all those guys coming over. It looks great. And
but you never know until the recruiting class comes in.
And so, look, recruiting-wise, golden. Mm-hmm. But you don't know until you play the games. The one thing that I did predict before the season started, and I've said this privately off air for the last 2 years, is you keep playing an SEC schedule like this of these D2 teams. Yeah. Other conferences are going to start to follow. Mm-hmm. I looked at Ohio State's schedule this year. They scheduled no one. No, it's like FAU or FIU. I didn't even know the
Florida International.
Yeah. Their first game of the year, they used to schedule like, oh, hey, a big outside conference game. They're not doing that anymore because the SEC isn't doing that anymore. That's going to change the rest of this shit. Therefore, when you get to a national championship, same as last night, where Alabama really didn't play anybody besides Georgia all year,
yeah,
you can say, oh, LSU was great. LSU had a third-string quarterback from Ohio State. The kid didn't barely know the offense. He did the best with what he could at LSU. And good on Joe Burrow, man. That's amazing. Yeah. But they weren't fucking good enough. You and I were at that game, and it was 29-0. And all we kept thinking was, man, this should be 56-0 at this point.
Yeah, it was.
It just wasn't.
It was, man, I don't know. I don't even know how to call it, to be honest. It was kind of like the Ohio State-Penn State game. I feel like Ohio State should have buried Penn State.
They did, but, and you know, like, look.
What did they end up winning by, 4 or something? I mean, it was close.
But, and for those of you who say, like, hey, Ross is a fucking Ohio State homer, that's not true. I actually know what Ohio State's problem was, and I know what it is. And I think this was Urban's problem at the end of his career. And that's the difference between him and Saban is this. Urban, if you look at the NFL draft, especially what's going to come up and what's happened over the years, I mean, fuck, all the Saints are goddamn, it's the Ohio State University reunion team on the Saints. They pump out the best NFL product they fucking can. They should have won 3 or 4 national championships with that team. I don't think Urban could corral that many personalities of kids who just wanted to go to the NFL, knew they were going to be superstars, and get them to win a national championship. And I think that's the difference with him and Nick Saban, whereas Nick Saban has the same talent as well, but he did.
Well, I think
he could get those kids to buy into the system, and I look at Dabo Swinney now.
The same, yeah.
Is the same.
Because he got all those defensive guys to come back, yeah.
To buy into the system, whereas the last couple years, and look, everybody's bagged on the Purdue loss and the Iowa loss on the year before, and they're right. Like, it's only a laziness of the players with that much talent. You shouldn't lose to Purdue. You shouldn't lose to Iowa. No. That's the coach's fault.
Yeah.
He should have corralled those kids. They're all playing in the fucking NFL. Ezekiel Elliott, all those goddamn guys. They're superstars. Michael Thomas. I mean, it's crazy to me that he didn't win more national championships, but you have to be able to corral those personalities. Saban has been able to do it and get him to buy into the system. Dabo is doing it currently.
He got like 2 probably first round defensive line draft picks to come back for their senior season,
which is nuts.
That's fucking crazy.
Nuts. And those guys were Wilkins last night for Clemson. They were tearing people's fucking faces off last night.
The other guy that's suspended, what's his name?
Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think that's going to affect his draft stock at all.
None.
Like, he's not. I'm looking at all the mock drafts
like
right
Coke
now.
Coke or fucking, you know.
No. I'm looking at
it
all.
Wasn't triple stacking.
No. I'm looking at all of his, all the mock drafts right now, and they don't even show him right now. But 3 weeks ago, before this shit happened, he was at 5th. Like, he was expected to go 5th.
Oh, 100%.
And then Wilkins is expected to go, like, either 4th or 6th. Like, he got both of these guys to come back for their senior season and play college football.
Deservedly so. And whoever the defensive coordinator is for Clemson, how is that guy not coaching in the NFL?
I don't know. After those first 2 touchdowns, Dabo looked over his shoulder and he said, do your fucking job.
On camera.
Yeah, and they scored 3 points after that.
Yeah. A field goal.
3 points, yep. It was a field goal in the red zone, too.
And they kept bringing up throughout the game that he's making, you know, $2 million to be the defensive coordinator. To me, I'm looking at the NFL coaching carousel right now.
Yeah.
And I can't understand why this guy isn't getting interviewed or having a job. Cliff Kingsbury got hired today. When you hit me up with that, I couldn't believe it. I did double check. I was like, wait a minute. Are we talking about the Texas Tech coach who didn't have a winning season? Are we talking about the offensive coordinator for USC who doesn't have an offense? This is what we're going.
It makes you wonder if they're going to take Bosa number one. Like if you brought in John Gruden to coach a team. John Gruden's always been an offensive minded coach,
right?
The West Coast style that he loves so much. Would you expect him to take Bosa number one, or would he go after building the package of players that he wants?
Man,
because that fucks me up.
Yeah,
like there's nobody other than Bosa or Haskins that I would take first in this draft.
To me, you've got to go with best pick in the draft. Look, those kids out of Clemson, man, are phenomenal. It depends on what defensive scheme you're running, but to me, you got to go with Bosa. You know, and again, a quarterback, if you need it, move up and get him. But Bosa is still first in this draft to me. I don't know what happens with Cliff Kingsbury. I don't know what happens with the rest of these fucking teams. It seems to me like everybody's looking for the new Todd McVay.
Yeah.
Of the Rams, the head coach of the Rams.
Yeah,
oh, we want a young guy who was like 38, 39 to come in and energize the team or whatever. Let's slow up on Todd McVay. He hasn't won a fucking playoff game yet.
Not yet. We'll see this week.
See this weekend.
You know, you can't plan for the exception to the rule. Like, Chucky was the exception at 41 or whenever he took over.
Right.
McVay is the exception.
Yeah.
What is he, 37 or something? He's young.
Who knows, man?
Like,
yeah.
That's the exception. Most of these guys have been coordinators for years because it takes a certain amount of organization, just like in college, to be able to fucking wrangle all these assholes and make them do what you want them to do on the same game plan on the same day and stay motivated for 16-plus games.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to do that. And to be honest, you don't see a whole lot of 35-year-old CEOs. There's a reason for that. It's because you just don't have the life and business experience to be able to handle that kind of stuff.
You don't at all.
So
and you throw a guy like Cliff Kingsbury in with, you know, shit, he's only, what, 18 years older than Josh Rosen, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah.
That's your quarterback. Look, I still think Arizona's got some decent talent. If they pass on Bosa, they're retarded mentally and physically in that and not metaphorically. You've got to go for the best players in the draft and then build around them. The problem is, the problem is in the NFL these days, you got about 3 years and before you're fired, and that's it. You're out of there.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, it's a big business. It's, you know, more of a corporation now than a.
It's a 3 to 5 year plan kind of deal. Yeah, for sure. But I could honestly see, Arizona trading down for like Carr or something like that from Oakland and giving Oakland the number one and letting them take Haskins if they want to change up a quarterback. Because I feel like Gruden is super unhappy with Carr and he's cleaned house everywhere else.
I don't think it'll be Arizona simply for the fact if they believe in Rosen. They went, you know, big on Rosen last year. I think Rosen is there and it's fine. I would say this. Yes, Jacksonville would probably move up, or maybe the Giants.
Yeah,
and we'll see.
Well, the Giants are 5, anyways, and Jacksonville's a 6, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, they're behind them.
Like, so I think Jacksonville, if they want Haskins, they're going to have to move up because I feel like you. I know you don't agree with this, but I think the Giants are going to take Haskins. I think they want Haskins and Saquon Barkley on the same team.
I think it would be smart. I think after, you know, dopey Eli.
Yeah.
They want a personality in New York. They got shit to sell. Saquon Barkley sells that whole thing. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Do they need more than Saquon?
By the way, by everybody's account on that team, who plays on that team, and we've had some inside talks with the actual players, they've said that Saquon Barkley is the leader, the vocal leader of that team inside the locker room. It's not OBJ.
Yeah.
It's not Eli because he feels like he's on his way out. And they all say it's Saquon Barkley. So if you're building a team around Saquon Barkley, then yes, it would make sense to go get a Haskins because then you don't have to be the leader of that. And he can be the spokesman of the whole fucking team.
Haskins is one of those guys that always lets his play speak for himself. He threw 50 touchdowns this year, so I'm pretty sure he's doing all right.
Yeah.
And if what you're saying is true, if Barkley is the true leader of that clubhouse, because clearly OBJ doesn't want to be.
No.
He wants to show up and play football, and like the shit he pulled at the end of this year is kind of irritating to me. Like, suit up and play the fucking game, bro. I get it that you're doing your thing. Don't fucking Kawhi Leonard me. Don't do that shit.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
And that's what he's become. Fuck, man. I don't even know.
But he's super talented.
On here. I got invited to a dinner with him about 36 hours before that last game.
With OBJ? Like,
yes. Can I say this or not? Fuck it. We've had a lot of drinks today.
Yeah, we have.
I said no. My wife was like, dude, you got to go. It'll be great or whatever. And I was like, he did not agree to do an interview for the podcast. And it was a dinner. And I was like, where's the dinner? And it was in New Jersey. And I was like, oh, so then he's not going to play? He's not going to play in the fucking final game?
That's so, like, and the what are the chances are that that's Eli's last game?
Like, all of it all the way around.
Like, it's at least reasonable, right?
My thoughts were this, to the friend who invited me. This guy's making what was his contract? $150 million?
His guaranteed money is like 65 or 70
insanity.
Million. It's like an amazing
And he just didn't
want
to play the last three games.
Yeah.
At all. There's nothing wrong with his quad. He didn't get hurt in practice, all that other shit. Like,
no.
There's nothing wrong with the guy. He's just fucking weird. He's like Kanye. There's no other excuse or explanation for it. And, you know, when I talked to my buddy the next day, I was like, how was the dinner? And he was like, cool, fine. I was like, did you ask him about the quad?
Yeah, that's a good. It's good that
you're serious.
It's good that you didn't go because you totally would have asked him, like, "Hey, how's your quad?"
I would have been an asshole.
Yeah,
my buddy doesn't give a shit, but like, my wife was like, "You should go," and I was like, "Why? What am I going to talk about? If he's not going to come on the show, I don't really give a shit about having dinner with anybody.
No,
besides you guys. Unless they'll come on the show. But once he told me that, and I knew all of. You know, his whole shit. I was like, all right, great. How do you depend on that guy as a leader of your team going forward? And you just paid him. You mean you backed up the truck for that guy?
Yeah, I mean, his ability and when he is on the field definitely warrants that kind of money. Like, he's a very, very good receiver. And he makes... It's not just about... if you're a true sports fan, you understand the idea of momentum. And forget about the hot hand theory, because there's no statistical evidence to back that shit up. Like, I've made five shots on the real shot, I should take the next shot. That's not how it works. You should take the best shot available, always.
Yeah.
But big plays and energy-based games like football can turn the tide, man. It doesn't matter if you make three catches, but they're great momentum-turning catches in a game, that can win the fucking game right there. Absolutely. And he's got that kind of skill. He's that dynamic guy. He's
like
Randy Moss.
Like, before we move on to something else here, I'll say one thing that I don't know of. So don't make it seem like I'm throwing him completely under the bus, because I don't know this last factor of it. Was it also management that said, hey, why don't you go ahead and we've paid you so much money, let's not risk getting injured the last three games and maybe
who knows?
But the only thing that didn't make sense to me on that argument is, then why not do it to Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a rookie.
Yeah, but
I don't
still,
know.
He was fucking phenomenal last year. That guy
he's
was
the third rookie in history to get a 2,000 from the scrimmage, right?
Yeah. He was amazing.
And their lines suck too, dude. Like,
no?
Statistically speaking, if you look at the offensive line numbers, and these are advanced metrics based on how much penetration they allow from the defense, how many blocking assignments they miss, all this other stuff, they're in the bottom five in the league. And he just went off anyways. He doesn't give a fuck. Imagine this guy. He's like Barry Sanders with the Lions. The Lions never fucking gave him any support. That dude just did his own thing. Imagine Saquon Barkley with a deep threat like Haskins and OBJ running on the outside.
It could be a sexy team, man. So you're right. Maybe it is them that moves up.
I would love to see that. I would actually watch the Giants play all year. I would watch every single one of their games if Haskins went there.
Same. Just look for the sheer excitement of it, of OBJ, Haskins, Barkley, what's going to happen. And the thing I like about Haskins versus like Lamar Jackson, those guys, Haskins doesn't run. He can't run at all. He's got a big arm. He reminds me of a David Garrard, if we're being honest about it.
More talented than that.
Yeah, but if you are going to compare it to, all right, great. What is he going to do? He's going to stand in the pocket. He's going to throw 50, 60-yard bombs.
Yeah.
He's extremely accurate. And he's not going to be running the ball every goddamn down or ever, you know. At Ohio State, they'd have begged that guy to run the goddamn ball.
Yeah, but he wouldn't really. I mean, how much would he even need to run there?
He doesn't, but in college, it's one of those things where, you know, like, look, you look at the Alabama game last night. They tried to get that Lawrence kid off his game by blitzing all the time, and he ended up running a few times.
It's funny. They tried to get him off his game by running, and this kid, who is 19 years old, in his first real big game ever, because that Notre Dame game was a joke. Like, all these Notre Dame homers are like, oh, they only lost by 27, and Alabama lost by 28. Clemson didn't even show up for the second half of that fucking game. So just shut the fuck up. That would have been a 40-plus point game if they had actually played. Anyways, so Lawrence, this 19-year-old who's never played in a really challenging game before, sees the blitz coming from this very intimidating Alabama team, at least according to the media. He fucking throws the ball, takes the big hit, gets up, and fucking brushes his shoulder off, as homeboy runs for a 74-yard touchdown. He doesn't give a fuck, dude.
It's weird.
This dude is a fucking mechanic.
It's almost frightening, man. Like, because look, again, you and I are diehard college football fans, but looking at that Clemson team, Jesus Christ, what do you do against those guys for the next 2 years?
I don't know, unless there's a major injury or they don't like stack back up on defense. But you know how it is. Like you said, in college football, it's cyclical. So when you start winning games like this, all the fucking top defensive recruits from next season, they're looking at Clemson right now.
Because
that team just took the best offense for the last four seasons and shut their ass down, like big time.
Every top defensive star from high school is probably going to go there. That's a frightening team, man. And look, they're fun to watch. I enjoyed watching Clemson play, so it's not like a...
No, it's not going to be one of those boring things where like a grinded out team wins every... watching George St. Pierre fight, I used to hate that shit.
But it was the same with watching Bama play before Tua. Before Tua got there, it was so goddamn boring, and they just grinded it out every time.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people hated Bama all these years. Not because they were good. You know, not because they kept winning. It's the fashion in which they were winning in just wasn't exciting.
Yeah.
Where you sit there and you watch the game with your buddies or whatever, and you're like, all right, great. They're going to run the ball up the middle. They're going to play really strong defense.
Well, we saw
this. I feel like I'm in 1950.
We saw this we were at the McGregor-Khabib fight.
Yeah.
And as a fan of the UFC, we sponsored the UFC.
Black Rifle Coffee does.
We do. Yeah. We go to all sorts of fights with these guys, all sorts of events. I support the organization. I love him. Dana's a good dude. He's fucking doing a great job over there. But I don't want to see two dudes wrestle for 15 to 25 minutes and then somebody decide who won. I want to see somebody get knocked the fuck out.
Yeah.
Period. It's a combat sport. I want to see fucking combat.
Exactly.
So in the same sense
of Alabama, you want to see some excitement. Yeah. You want to see some superstars. But they just haven't had that there. They've never Clemson, had a big-time quarterback besides Tua. You know, all of their quarterbacks for the last 100 years since Bear Bryant have been boring as shit.
Yeah.
Except for Namath, maybe?
Well,
Joe Namath?
His legs are...
Willie Joe is about the only one that's been exciting for them.
But, I guess,
I don't know what happens. But
Clemson is exciting on both sides of the ball.
Oh, yeah. They're a blast to watch.
They make huge plays on defense. They make big plays on offense. And they carry it, man. They're not, like, out there acting like dicks. Say what you want to about Dabo with all his, like, he got super Jesus-y at the end.
Boy, there. Did he ever.
And that, to me, presents a problem. Like, I don't really give a fuck about any of that stuff, as we've established on
whenever
the show.
Whenever somebody says, hey, God did this for us, and well, that means God hated the other team. I can't get down on that.
Or God,
it's just like, dude, God is not choosing
God took
to
some,
pick one team or the other.
Team. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. God does not have money. In case you couldn't hear that, because these are directional mics, Jared just said God hates Puerto Rico and decimated the entire island, but really wanted Clemson to win the national title. It's true. So when I hear shit like that, it's just like, come on, man.
No, I would never disabuse anyone of their faith or their right to believe whatever the fuck they want to believe, and if it makes them happy, I don't care. But come on, man. No, Reggie White started all this shit back in the day, and Dennis Leary does a great bit on this. He goes, apparently God was a huge Green Bay fucking Packers fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never understood that in sports or music or the Grammys, like none of that. Like,
oh, I love it at the Grammys, though, because the most foul-mouthed hip-hop guys talking about drugs and whores, they're like, I just want to thank God for all my drugs and whores.
I'm like, God for this. It's just like,
to be honest, that to me is pure. Like, they really believe that shit. They don't see a problem with all their drugs and whores, and if they can God for it, hey, that's fine, bro.
But same with football.
I'm into drugs and whores, too.
Same with football. You have a violent sport, and it's just like, oh, God wanted you to play this violent sport, and one of you win by 40.
I just really want to thank God for my ability to paralyze that guy on the 40-yard line before he scored.
Ridiculous. Look, we've got some sponsors who pay for this whole fucking shit to be on the air. I want to get to the Browns hiring after this because this happens.
God.
Which I'm all right with, by the way. I'm all right with the Browns hiring. First and foremost, though, talking about mybookie.com. Look, that's the sole reason I'm here today. We house them. We've housed them all year. If they pick up this contract for next year, it would be utterly shocking at this point because we have danced in the rain, we have laughed like children, and we have drank like leprechauns tonight, D'Anthony.
We would have made
Antoine.
We would have made less money if we would have just driven there and robbed them, to be honest.
Or, I guess, just gone to Vegas, but, like, what the fuck? Look, we were on with them through the basketball, right?
Yeah, through the Final Four, yeah.
Yes, correct. So we're on with them through the Final Four. Nothing they can do. So you can bet with us. Go to mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposits from $100 to $3,000. So, like D'Anthony and I said at the top of the show, hypothetical. Let's just say you put all $3,000 in on the first game of the season. Well, technically, bet it all on Clemson.
Technically, it would have been $6,000 since they double your deposit to $3,000. So what's 6 times 6, guys? Is anybody good at math?
Boy, I can't believe that happened. I mean, I can, but to get the World Series right as well, what the fuck? Anyways, go to mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles the deposit from 100 all the way up to 3,000. So you're doubling your bets. My lock of the weekend was great last weekend. The Chargers.
Yep,
we've been on a crazy, crazy.
I was 3-4 this week.
You were.
Yeah. We missed, what was the one we missed in NFL?
Well, Janikowski we won.
Yeah.
I got Janikowski for the Seahawks. I picked the Chargers. That was my lock of the week.
Yeah.
You got Big Nick right.
That's right.
That was your...
We'll talk more about this later.
Come to Jesus. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a second, but you got the... You went so hard on that it frightened me into not betting, by the way.
Hey, you know what?
I told a couple Drinking Bros.
I bet on it and made money, son. I knew.
I know you did. But I after, because you've never pounded the table all year and said, hey, because to me, and we'll talk about this in a second, this was your I am Spartacus moment where you said, no, the Eagles are going to win this game. And look, regardless of that double doink field goal, you would have won it either way, so it didn't really
either
matter.
Either way, even
if the Bears won.
I think part of it was I spent most of the week last week talking to Freddie Mitchell. Like,
really?
Just texting back and forth, talking shit. And he's got some you'll hear more about this later, but he's doing a thing with a veteran charity up in Pennsylvania where they're giving service dogs away to dudes and women from the military with either mental health issues or whatever the fuck else is going on. We're going to start working on that soon.
That's great.
Drinking Bros and Black Rifle.
He's an awesome dude.
He's a great dude. Yeah. He's been
really
like,
funny. He's one of the best Instagrams on.
Yeah. So anyways, I spent all week talking to him last week. And I was like, you know what? He's right, man. Fucking Nick's going to do this. I don't know what it was, but I didn't think that Trubisky had it. I think that Nick Foles has some kind of fucking weird magic around him. I don't know what it is. But, you know, like I said, that momentum, that fucking juju, whatever the fuck you want to call it, it plays a role in sports. It does.
It does. No, 100%. And look, we'll get to that during this week's games in a second. Next up, we get ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. It's the mattress. All the NFL players are sleeping on it now. Everybody's asses is like, hey, man, we listen to the show. Because usually they come and listen for themselves, like their own interviews and shit like that. And they're just like, yo, what's the ghost bed? I'm like, the ghost bed's dope as fuck. It's the best mattress on the planet. It is. And one thing I was incorrect about is the deals didn't end after Christmas. They're still there.
Really?
So if you go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros, $7.99 off a bundle package, $500 off of a mattress off the ghost bed Lux, $300 off the regular mattress, and free pillows. The pillows are fucking amazing. And they have a no interest pay as you go program for 36 months. No one fucking does that.
No, I wouldn't. Not for a bunch of degenerates like Drinking Bros. Sure.
Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Let me ask you this. This is a dead serious question, by the way. You're the VP of marketing for Black Rifle.
Yep.
Would you guys ever offer a no pay as you go program?
No, you guys can all go fuck yourselves.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
Why is that? You have to do credit checks or something, right?
Risk and liability, yeah.
Man, the fact that Ghostbed's doing it, go hard, dude.
Well, we sell $13 bags of coffee, and they sell $800 beds, slightly different. Yeah. But either way. But they're a great company.
They're the best.
Like, I own two of them. You own three of them.
Yes.
What the fuck?
The only room that is not in my house is the child's bedroom, who's 4. And let's face it, he's not getting a fucking... He's not Andrew Cunanan, and he's not getting the master.
Are they making ghost bed cribs yet?
They should. I guarantee you they will be soon.
Like when I was a kid, I was in a very fancy crib. I only drank Fiji.
Were you really?
No, I wasn't. We were
Fiji
poor.
Water?
We were poor as shit
from the Golden Globes.
Everyone's heard my interview. My dad was a piece of shit. But the Fiji water girl, holy shit, she's famous.
Play, you know, she's on Corden tonight.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's on James Corden tonight.
I
blew her up on Instagram.
I want to follow her.
I know you should. Kelleth, what's her name? Kelleth, I forget her last name. Whatever. Last but not least, D'Anthony, blackriflecoffee.com. Why don't you tell us about BRCC?
Black Rifle Coffee. We do all sorts of weird shit, man.
Yeah.
There's so much weird shit.
We're going to shoot something while I'm out here, right?
There's going to be another Instructor Earl video shot tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Yeah. Yes. People have been clamoring for it.
Yep.
Actually, when we did the socks, it was Vandenham and then Instructor Earl.
FreakerUSA.com,
Yeah, they were
dude,
super.
Everybody loves super Instructor popular, Earl. Yeah. I told Evan, I was like, dude, you got to do more of these fucking things.
So we're going to do more. We actually have this one planned and then one more after that at a minimum. But I don't think it'll ever stop because it's just such a funny character. We have a bunch of other shit coming out too, like Warrior's Heart, the follow-up to the Tom Spooner thing you guys saw over the holidays. It's a really good organization that we support, helps former service members with drug and alcohol problems and mental health problems and all kinds of bullshit like that. We usually give away between 30 and 50,000 pounds of coffee to deployed service members every year. And we're about to run a promotion, I think 2 weeks from now, so keep an eye out for it, where every bag you buy of certain blends and roasts, we send one of those over to deployed guys. So our best value is the coffee club. You get about 20% off and free shipping, shows up at your door same day every fucking month. You don't ever have to worry about running out of coffee again.
It's the best. Yeah. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use the promo code SPORTS for 20% off. Highly recommend you using that on the coffee club of the month program. Shit gets dropped off of your doorstep same date of every single month. It's amazing. Let's dive into these weekend games, shall we? Colts Texans. You had the Colts, right?
Yeah, actually, it looks like I thought I missed one, but I did go 4 for 4. So that's
you
good.
Did I?
No, I went 3 for 4. I called four, I think I said Seahawks are gonna win.
Well, they covered the spread. They got 2.5. It was 2.5.
So I guess I went 4 for 4 on that one.
Because we bet that on a Tuesday, and a lot of people ask us when we bet these games. We always bet on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
We do the show, and that way everybody can go back and re-listen and be like, all right, cool. What was the spread? How did you get this? We always do the show on Tuesdays. This week it's delayed because we got a special guest actor who's coming on to promote his movie on Friday. But yeah, so we got this Seahawks game. So we won the Seahawks game. I picked the Texans. I believe you picked the Colts in that game.
Yeah.
So I lost that game. Chargers was my lock of the week. Chargers, look, they were crushing them 23-3 all the way through that game.
We knew Lamar Jackson wasn't going to show up.
He's not an NFL quarterback. And that's
like it's one thing in the regular season where everybody's playing loose and trying different shit, but when you're locked down at your game plan in the postseason, I'm sorry, that guy's not going to win.
Look, I went 2-2 because I picked the Bears. You picked the Eagles.
Yep.
I don't know how you picked Big Nick Nick.
I told you it was Freddie Mitchell.
I don't know how they won.
They won because of Big Dick Energy, my friend.
Jesus Christ. The worst call in the history of sports could be Chris Collinsworth saying, double doink.
I hate Chris Collinsworth so much, dude. He is
the fucking worst.
Oh, man.
I mean, it's an embarrassment. And for a game that big, and I said this on my podcast on Ross Patterson Revolution, you have a third of the country watching this game. You've got to have the best of the best there. To me, I wish it was Gus Johnson. I wish Gus Johnson could call all this shit. I also like Tony Romo. A lot of people ask.
Romo is actually a really good play-by-play color guy.
The guy knows
every
play before it happens.
Yeah.
I was not stoked on him as an NFL player. I am really stoked on him as an announcer.
Yeah.
I like him and Jim Nance. I think they're great.
I think Aikman's really good, too, though.
I'm over Aikman.
He's been around for a while.
He's been sunburned and high for about 30 years.
He looks like he's lived in Scottsdale for the last 60 years. Yeah,
weird, right?
Yeah.
But to me, for the money, at this point in the season, let's go Gus Johnson. I like Al Michaels. Al Michaels is fine.
Michaels is good. He's old as fuck, though.
Don't Collinsworth me with his shit anymore.
No. I mean, you know.
And then, by the way, everybody hit me up on Twitter because I posted the thing of Jason Witten and his wig glue. That's what it ended up being. Because I was like, hey, anybody else see this bright marker around his forehead? I was like, what is this? I don't understand it. Is it supposed to be a green screen backed up? And like, I'm a Hollywood guy and I couldn't figure out. And they were like, oh no, it's a toupee wig glue. And I was like, you know why I didn't know that? Every Hollywood actor who comes in who needs a toupee has a wig guy doing wig work before they get there.
Yeah.
They don't want anybody else to know about it.
Right.
And I was like, oh shit. So
how you knew you made it. If you're doing wig work.
Yes.
I'm a wig work specialist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to call this season?
What's that?
Rice.
Why?
I think he's really good.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah, he's the best wide receiver ever.
You know nothing what you're talking
what
about.
What are you talking about?
He hasn't played since
the
80s.
He was in the 49ers. Jerry Rice.
Nope.
I think.
Go ahead and grab the microphone from him, Dan. We're all done with Jared for the show.
I'm pretty sure. Didn't Jerry Rice retire in 2011? It was sometime around
who
then, right?
Who knows, man? Look, Jerry Rice played for 50 fucking years.
Yeah, but it wasn't
then
this year.
The stars. Now he just shows up at weddings. Who knows? But I went 2-2. You picked Big Nick Nick. Would you go 4-for-4?
Yeah.
You killed it. You killed it. You held up my end of the bargain. I was shocked by that. Now we're going to get to this week's games. Top of the list, Saturday. I love these Saturday and Sunday games. And this is the last week of it, man.
It's a full weekend. That's what I like about it.
So do I. It saddens me that these are going to be gone because that means the season's about to end. We got Colts at Chiefs. It's Kansas City -5.5 at home. Who you got, D'Anthony?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, the Chiefs are weak in the secondary. That's probably their biggest flaw,
correct.
I think. And Andrew Luck's been lighting it up lately, but I really don't think the Colts defense can stop Jesus as Mahomes' boy.
Yeah,
I just don't see it, man. I think this is going to be this is a 7+ point game probably. This 5.5. So the game is -5.5 Chiefs. I just don't see that.
I don't either. I look. I've got the Chiefs all day,
especially not at Arrowhead. That's the loudest stadium, and
it's crazy. And look, they haven't won a fucking playoff game with Andy Reid since what Jesus got resurrected. This is their time. Mahomes is not. Look, he's never been phased all season. I don't think he's going to be phased now. Tyreek Hill he's had a couple weeks to get healthy at this point. And I actually like Damian Williams back there in the backfield. I think he's looked pretty goddamn good.
He's good enough to get the job done there. Yeah.
I think if you give him another year in the system.
Now he's a big enough threat to open up the field for Mahomes a little bit.
Yeah, and Kelce and those guys, like, look, if you remember last year, Kelce got a concussion and ended up going out of the game. Yep. I've got the Chiefs all day long in this one, and I'm stoked about this game. I think the Chiefs advance, and I think they beat this 5.5 spread. Dare I say, this might be the lock of the week is the Chiefs for me. Next up, we got the Cowboys at the Rams in the night game. This is the Rams -7 at home. Who you got?
Well, you know, I think these offenses match up pretty good. I don't think that I don't know. Jared Goff he's a pretty good quarterback, but he hasn't really stepped up in the ways I thought he would this year. So I'm not too high on him, but Dak Prescott's a fucking joke. And more importantly, the Rams defense is legit. I think the Rams defense is probably better than the Cowboys defense, and I think that's what's going to win this game.
Yeah, look.
7 points, however.
7 points is a lot.
That's a lot of points. I don't know if I believe that or not.
I would like to see this at 6.5. I'm still going to take the Rams. I would really love to see this at 6.5. It's not. It's at 7. But I think the Rams are going to be fine in this. Look, Gurley's had 3 weeks to rest at this point.
Yeah.
He's going to be fresh, energized. They're going to be tearing people's faces off. I think Goff is going to be fine in this. The Cowboys are hit and miss every other game.
They are.
So, you know, to me, this could be a close game or it could be Rams by 30, and it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I'm going to lean towards Rams by 2 scores in this just simply because they've had the rest. And this is leaning to be a Rams-Chiefs. A Rams-Chiefs Saturday to me, where I think the Rams and the Chiefs both win. And this the reason why I say that, this could be on your dream collision course that you stated at the beginning of the season.
How crazy would it be if I said Alabama-Clemson, and Clemson wins.
Yeah.
And then we said Dodgers-Red Sox, and I said in 5 games.
Yeah.
And then Chiefs-Rams-Super Bowl, and the Rams win, because that's what I called.
Yeah.
How fucking crazy would that be? I would have to...
That would be insanity.
Yeah.
And we would be super rich. I don't know if we would ever do the show, by the way.
No, we'd probably just do a bunch of drugs.
We put money in all this shit before, so that would be a miracle. I don't know if that's going to happen. I still think it probably goes through New Orleans out of the NFC. But I think the Rams and Chiefs, I think your 2 picks stay on the Saturday games, and I think everybody's fine betting these.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Chargers at the Patriots on the Sunday games. This is New England -4. Who you got? This is our Fight Club game of the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't know.
You're staying with New England, right?
Yeah, I think Brady's got one more in him. I know you think he's out of juice.
Yep.
The Chargers have been looking pretty good lately, but this is in New England, and New England wins playoff games in New England.
Man, I'm almost shocked that I'm saying this because I haven't really liked the Chargers all year, but this is 3 weeks in a row now that I've heard from different people inside the Chargers locker room saying the Chargers hate the world. They're only playing for themselves. They have no home city or home fans to root for them at all. And, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Chargers are going to win this game. Not only am I taking the Chargers plus the four, but I actually think they're going to win the game in advance. I just think Rivers is down to the last couple of years of his career, and this is it. If he doesn't do it now,
yeah,
he will never get back here.
No, he'll have 12 kids by the time.
Henry's back, tight end this week.
Yep.
I'm going Chargers. I can't believe I'm saying this. I am going heavy on the Chargers for this game.
We'll see.
And I think this is the end of the Patriots to me. I think after this, Gronkowski and those guys, I think Gronkowski either moves on or retires.
Yeah.
And I think Brady wants to stay until he's fucking 46. I believe that.
He kind of does, yeah. But I don't know if the Patriots can abide that.
Yeah. But I look.
Like, Belichick would have to probably leave because I don't know if he would hang around for a mediocre quarterback that's 43 years old.
I don't know. Or are you the Patriots and saying, hey, we can get somebody else in here. It doesn't really matter. Who gives a fuck if Gronkowski leaves? Maybe. They still have a lot of talent on that team. I don't know. And again, this is all speculation. Brady could fucking win. Light everybody up and win the Super Bowl, and I could be totally wrong. This is just my guess.
I feel like if Brady wins this year, he's probably done.
I would say that would be a fair assessment.
I don't think there's any, like, what could possibly bring you back after that? That's like the John Elway, what, 98 season? Why would you ever
99,
come back?
99, yeah. We won both 98 and 99.
Why would you come back Falcons. After that?
Not that I remember.
What, the funky chicken dance or whatever the fuck it was?
Yeah, Jamal the Dirty Anderson. Bird, dude.
Dirty Bird. So stupid.
Jamal Anderson just got arrested last week. Ugh.
Did he really?
Bad luck.
He and Otis Nixon should get a fucking room together.
Boy, they're crackheads. Two drunkards who can't get an Uber, apparently. next up on that Sunday game, we got the Eagles at the Saints. Man, these games back-to-back to me are probably the best games of the weekend to me, where these are the two games that I'm most excited about is these Sunday games. And this line has been all over the place. So I would watch this at home and see how this shakes out over the next few days. Obviously it's New Orleans at home. They're 13-3, but right now it's currently listed at -8. When the week started on Monday, it was 9.5.
Yeah.
So this line is moving down. Everybody is jumping on board the Big Dick Nick train.
Yeah.
Are you staying with Big Dick Nick this week?
Yes.
You are?
I think...
to win or with the points?
Both.
No shit.
Yeah. I was kind of flipping on it earlier. I'm 100% sure on the -8. For sure. I don't think there's any way that New Orleans beats him. And keep in mind, folks, I know this is a long-ass season, but the Eagles had the second-ranked defense coming into the season, and they've been playing lights out lately.
Fletcher Cox is looking nasty. Yeah.
And, but I think I got to go with that magic. Like I said last week, the Eagles won last year, and they're playing out of their fucking mind right now, and it'd be crazy to go against the defending champs because there's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about all these guys that have been there, and they've done it before with Nick Foles under center. So I'm going with the Eagles.
You know, me personally...
And I'm not an Eagles fan, by the way. I don't give two fucks about that team.
No, you don't. Me personally, and I told... There was a bunch of drinking bros who messaged me personally before this Eagles-Chicago game. And they said, hey, what are you really doing before this game? You, again, we talked about this at the top of the show. You pounded the table. This was your I am Spartacus moment of the season. Yeah. Said the Eagles are going to win. I did not believe it, but you were so sure of yourself. I backed off my bet. I only threw $100 in this game, and thankfully I did because I lost.
Yeah.
And with that being said, with the juju that the Eagles have and everything else, I would lean towards taking the Eagles with the 8 points. However, this is not a big bet for me this weekend. I'm going into other games. I would be really shocked if they beat the Saints, but I would be even more shocked if the Eagles lost by 8 points.
Yeah. So
I think you're fine in taking that spread, but I'm betting very little on this game because, to be honest, I've never seen anything like what Nick Foles has done last year or this year, and it's fucking crazy at this point.
It is really crazy, but one caveat to that. Now is not the time of year to be chasing it, trying to make it up. Like, as a gambler, do not chase it in the playoffs. Yep. Do not do it. I'm telling you, you're going to fucking lose your money if you do that shit.
Yeah.
Because you make irrational decisions when you're putting your own money and you're chasing it.
The reason why is this. You get down to the last, four games of the NFL season. And let's say you're an NFL guy or a college guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, well, shit, I got to make it up on this because I'm really good at football. Mm-hmm. A game like this is not the game to do it on. We've been honest with you all season on, hey, here's who we liked, here's who we really don't like. I've taken a bath a couple times. Once was on that Ohio State Washington game.
Yeah.
That I really believed in. Homer shit aside, I genuinely believed in that. We've made it up on a bunch of other shit throughout the season, but now is not the time, if you're down for the season, to be doubling up and going after a game like this. There's better games, and
in college,
the Super Bowl or in the NFC
college basketball is coming up too.
Yeah,
plenty of time.
There's plenty of time for that. So yes, heed Dan's warning, but this isn't a game I'm throwing a lot of money on because I don't know, and I'm afraid to go against Foles after the last 2 weeks, man. I mean, it's been insane, man, with that guy. The last 5 weeks, I guess you could say. It's too much.
Last season, too.
It's too much. But, yeah, these are some great games, and I'm super stoked about this weekend. Usually I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't really give a shit. Like last year. Remember when Jacksonville was in it last year?
Yeah.
I just was like, eh. Bortles is on. I don't give a fuck. Like, all these games I care. Sunday games are even better where it's just like, holy shit. These are
all good games.
Yeah.
This weekend. I don't think that we're gonna see. I mean, anything is possible, but I wouldn't predict any kind of blowout this weekend. And that's, that usually makes for pretty good football. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's exciting times. I want to talk about the NFL coaches carousel that's going on right now.
Oh boy.
Browns, Freddie Kitchens. I actually don't mind that hire, by the way.
Do you think that's a rebuild hire or a legit hire?
No, I think that team was 7-9
Yeah.
This year, and he was calling the plays. I think it's important. Like, you look at the Indianapolis Colts, right, with Frank Reich.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great season. Everybody in the media did not believe in Frank Reich. They thought he was gone. I did too. I thought Harbaugh was going to take over for Luck, and that was going to be a reunion.
Yeah.
And I called that early on in the year. He surprised everybody and turned out to be an amazing coach and completely shut Houston down.
Well, it was really, Luck made a pretty good comeback. But, yeah, it was overall team performance that really drove.
Yeah, because I didn't think Indianapolis.
They're like 11-1 in the last 12 games or some shit. It's crazy.
I didn't think Indianapolis had a good enough offensive line. I thought the defense was shitty before the year started. All of that got corrected with great coaching. And, you look at this Freddie Kitchens hire for the Browns. Mm-hmm. It's a guy who, once he got in there and started calling his plays, once the rest of the entire Browns organization got fired, he came in and started calling his plays. You can't argue with Baker Mayfield breaking the record for Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
The players love him. The fans love him. I don't know how you could go wrong with this hire right now. If he doesn't do well in a couple of years, fine.
Yeah.
But let's say you bring in, a Cliff Kingsbury, for example.
Oh, my God.
Who hasn't won anything anywhere or proved anything in any other school. Then you could look at that and say, man, if he's unsuccessful, that is a shitty hire. Fuck you. You fucked our team again.
Yeah.
Everything else. With this Freddie Kitchens hire, I think it is a great, safe hire that is in-house that everybody likes on the team, all the fans like. So therefore, if he's not successful, guess what? Who cares? We tried to put our money on the guy that just appeared to be the best, who could do the best for us.
That's all you can really do, really.
Yes.
I mean,
and so I don't mind that. And to me, he reminds me of like a Frank Reich hire for the Colts, where it's like, hey, pick the guy who believes in the team the most and who's really going to be there for every last thing. I really don't mind that. The other one, the LaFleur hire at the Packers.
A lot of head scratching going on over that.
Look to manage a guy like Aaron Rodgers, because I think Mike McCarthy's.
Do you
a great
think
coach.
He's Tyronn Lue?
Could be.
Is that what he is for you guys?
Could be, but again, another young guy who's what, 39?
Yeah, he's young.
They're trying to find the next, you know, Todd McVay or whatever it is, and maybe they found him, maybe they didn't. Maybe Aaron Rodgers wanted him, maybe they didn't. But one thing is for sure: after this year, you will know whether or not it is Aaron Rodgers or whether or not it was the coach, because Mike McCarthy, to me, will probably go to the Jets now. Now that Harbaugh asked for. What did Harbaugh? Not only they were going to back up the truck and give him $10 million. Yeah. We thought Harbaugh was going to the Jets, but then he asked for control of like draft picks and some other shit. And
he wanted to be the president, GM, and coach, basically.
Correct.
Like, and that's
the Jets in New York. They told him to go fuck himself.
He's not Bill Parcells, so he can go fuck himself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So now he's on some weird vacation down in Florida, allegedly. If you believe it, I don't know what to believe anymore. I do believe the story though that you know. Look, they offered him the $10 million. It looked like a done deal. And they said, I want input on draft picks. I want to be the GM, and I also want to be the fucking coach. And they were like, hey, man, this is still New York City. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh doesn't want anything to me. I don't blame the Jets for pulling that offer. But you look at who's left at this point. It's Mike McCarthy. You got to give that job to Mike McCarthy, I think, right?
If he wants it.
I think he does.
I see. I mean, big high-profile coaches who lose their jobs usually don't come back right away. They usually take a year off.
No, but you would come back for New York, and especially if you're trying to make a statement, and Aaron Rodgers was a fuckboy who ran you out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Come back with Darnold, who, as much as I make fun of him, is pretty talented.
He's fine, yeah.
They've got a lot of cap space. They could make a dent if they go out and get Le'Veon Bell. They could compete next year in a weaker AFC than it has been in years past.
Yeah.
I think McCarthy would be a great hire now that Jim Harbaugh, the ultimate dipshit, has asked for. Yeah, I mean, he's basically asked for what's the Bacchanalia rights in
I don't know what it is.
Braveheart.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called.
Oh, everybody at home right now knows this, and we don't know it. Yep. You know that, right?
There's a fucking...
Prima Nocta.
Prima Nocta, yeah.
That's what Harbaugh has asked for. Prima Nocta rights for the Jets, and it's like, hey, man, go fuck yourself. So I think Mike McCarthy could be a good hire there. The one that I think is terrible, Cliff Kingsbury's...
To me, that's just like wishful thinking that turned into policy somehow.
Weird.
Like, it's, come on, man.
The other one that's weird to me, that's a really big head scratcher, is Bruce Arians, who I think is a good coach.
Yeah.
But to Tampa Bay?
Doesn't make any sense.
Why would you go there?
I don't know why anyone would ever go there.
Ever? They don't have a fan base. They don't. I mean, I guess Arizona was the same way. Arizona doesn't give a shit about the Cardinals.
Didn't Arians start with the Steelers, though, back in the day?
I think.
Like way back in the day?
Yeah, but it's like, what? Why go with... Because Jameis Winston, the GM specifically came out and said, hey, whoever's taking this job, just know Jameis Winston is our starting quarterback, which is a weird thing to say.
I would never walk into a situation like that.
Me neither.
Like, what if we got the opportunity to draft Haskins or let's say Lawrence was in this draft. Would you still say something like that? Come on, man. Like,
it's strange, man.
The best player should be on the field. And to be honest, last season... There was a young man with a ginger beard who played way better in his limited time than old Crab Legs did. So, I mean, to me, I don't give a fuck how old the guy is, what his contract. If I'm paying a dude $5 million to sit on the bench and his $250,000 replacement is getting the job done, then that guy's starting the game, bro.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck who it is. Like that whole thing, well, this guy's making too much money to be on the bench. Well, get rid of him then. Fuck him.
Yeah. So the Arizona hire was weird to me. The Tampa Bay hire was weird to me. Who's coaching the Jaguars, you know?
I don't know. You? Me? One of us, probably.
Man.
I wouldn't take the job, to be honest, at this point. It's going to be a shit show next year.
And they just named, I believe, Todd Bowles as defensive coordinator.
Todd Bowles. Didn't he play for the Ravens back in the day?
Oh, he was the coach of the Jets. What the fuck is going on?
It's
what the fuck is going on down there?
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's Jets coach Todd Bowles. This is just across the wire.
He's taking right over now. As their DC.
Yeah, as the DC of Tampa Bay.
Because the Jets defense.
God
was,
damn it, man.
Right.
Strange. Super strange. Yeah. If I'm the Jets at this point and Harbaugh's asked for all that access, go all in on Mike McCarthy and call it a day. I think McCarthy's a great coach. I think he'd be fine coaching the Jets. But man, what a weird, weird fucking strange turn of events this has been towards the end of the day. Lastly, I want to talk about this. Cousins, Boogie. Coming back to
when's he playing?
The Warriors, January 18th.
He's been playing in the D League mostly, right?
Yeah, just got announced that a source has said he's targeting January 18th. Look,
yeah,
the Warriors, ever since that Draymond Green dust up, they've been mediocre.
Yeah,
I think the big energy of Boogie Cousins could revitalize this team, and I think it's exactly what they need. And this could be the best offseason move ever.
If he
on accidents,
yeah.
Because Boogie Cousins had to call the Warriors and ask for a fucking job.
If he plays at like 80% of his capabilities, it'll be the best five people that have ever been on a basketball floor, not an All-Star game ever.
Ever.
Like, even the Showtime Lakers with fucking, you know, there's
Worthy, Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Byron Scott,
no
Kurt Rambis.
It's still not even close.
No.
Like, no one, all five of these guys are legit first team all NBA guys.
Yeah, man. It'll be exciting to watch. And look, if he comes back and dominates like he used to, fucking move, bitch, get out the way. It's going to ruin the league.
All he's got to do is be a rim protector and then pick and pop. Really, he doesn't even have to go to the basket.
It's
going to
be amazing
if he
to
picks
watch.
And pops with Steph and KD. I mean, it's over.
When I saw that news, I was amped. I whatever that game is, he actually does come back. I hope they televise that because I'll be right up next to the screen with a bowl of popcorn, saying, "Let's go, let's go."
You know, popcorn really raises your blood sugar a lot, so be careful with that.
I'll watch out for that, Dan. You've killed hundreds of people when you're worried about fucking popcorn.
That game's on ESPN, by the way.
Break.
It's a Friday night game on ESPN.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, I'll be pounding off my underwear watching that game with my spare eye.
Goddamn right you were.
I use one of my eyes to masturbate, the other one's spare eye on the TV.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
You have to at that point.
That's how it works.
You have to. And we don't ever dedicate the show to anybody, but we are this week. Mean Gene Okerlund died. I know you were a fan.
You know, actually, my cousin is married to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah. Is that real?
Yep.
It's Duggan, by the way. But
I don't know what his real name is. I've never met the guy.
You've never met Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Nope. He sent me some signed stuff
to get you
for Xmas one year.
Yeah, I was gonna say I might have to get you a signed
2x4. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of Hacksaw.
No, I've never actually met the guy.
No shit.
But they live in like some shit like Columbia, South Carolina together.
Really?
Yeah.
That's close to me.
It is pretty close, yeah.
Why don't you come out and we'll go see Hacksaw Jim Duggan? That'd be great.
We could, I guess, if he knew who the fuck I was.
He doesn't know who you are?
I'm sure it would be easy to explain.
You better learn.
That.
Why can't we have him a guest on the show?
That'd be great. Well, yeah, I can reach out. I'll reach out to my family. See about that. Yeah. He's he's all about America. I tell you that.
Yeah, we all are. But look, WWF growing up now.
Yeah.
Now it's the WWE. That was the ultimate fucking jam with Hulk Hogan, Gene Okerlund. Was the announcer, obviously.
Yep.
Savage is my favorite. You know, all those guys. But so the reason why I bring this up is Hulk Hogan's been on some tough times.
He's had a number of tough times.
Well, here's the problem. He got secretly recorded saying the N-word on a sex tape with his best friend's wife. And they used that, exploited him. He sued, got $100 million, but it ruined his career. The reason why I'm talking about Mean Gene Okerlund is this was his return to the ring last night.
It was Hulk's?
Oh, yeah. So he came back to the ring.
Terry Balboa.
Terry Balboa. Came back to Balboa. Hey.
Hey.
He came back to the ring last night. Looked like he had never left.
Damn. No, he looks stronger now than
crazy.
He did before. Like,
steroids,
this dude's like 70 years old.
Whatever Hulk steroids are, I want them. He came back to the ring last night, looked fantastic. Gave a touching tribute to Mean Gene Okerlund. And I know, look, if you're like me and millions of other people around the world, you were brought to tears D'Anthony, you were crying a lot last night.
I just cry a lot in general. This guy's 65 years old, by the way.
Mean Gene or Hulk?
Hulk.
Yeah. I think Mean Gene was like in his 80s.
Mean Gene was, look, he was, around he was timeless.
He was colorless as well,
he
kind
was timeless is what he was.
Yeah. Yeah, Hulk.
Hulk is 65, huh?
65, yeah.
Shit.
Terry, old Terry Balboa.
We should get Hulk on the show.
We should. I mean, what's he doing other than hiding from black people right now?
I don't know.
Like, you can't, that's one thing I've learned as an adult human being, is that you can't just run around saying the N-word and still
be
friends.
He said it on a sex tape, though. He didn't know he was being recorded.
Well, like a good policy is to just not say the N-word, probably.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And also, don't bang your buddy's wives.
Yeah,
that's probably a good idea.
Bubba the
but left. If you have to, make sure it's one of Jared Taylor's exes, because he doesn't care.
Exactly. He doesn't care.
Yeah, he's confirming now that anyone can bang any of his exes.
So, Jared, since we're in your house, we're live in San Antonio, completely spontaneous. If, like, let's say you walked over and four or five dudes were running a train on Caitlin, you'd be fine with it?
Yeah, I mean, that's strong.
What do you mean by that strong?
He goes, Jared goes, that's strong.
Do you think that would be strong. Out of character for her, or...
Okay.
She's minus five.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
We should get her a punch card.
Yeah. Yeah. Subway's got one.
Subway does have one.
Subway's got a punch card.
I'm like
card.
Two punches away from a free whatever the fuck they sell there. Cause I've,
6-inch. That's what you're packing.
No, because I looked. There was an article the other day where some lady brought a ruler in to Subway.
And she measured the
six. She measured the 6-inch. It was 4.5 inches. So now... If women are carrying rulers around, we're all fucked.
Nah, we're fucked as a society.
We're going to have to start being a little more honest about what's going on down there.
Man. Well, we're going to have to be honest about who's in the playoffs these days. And your picks are still standing strong. I think I'm going, at this point in the season, I'm going Saints-Chiefs. Saints-Chiefs is my thing. I think the Chargers are going to play the Chiefs. And then I think the Saints are going to end up playing the Rams.
We'll see. I want to see what the... I want to see what Gurley and Goff look like this week. And more importantly, I want to see what the Rams' defense looks like this week.
Yep.
If the Rams' defense locks it down this week, I think they got a pretty good shot.
Look, it's not like Dallas has the greatest of offenses. So
no, we'll they're see. Terrible.
We'll see. Either way, this was fun, man. Fuck. It was a fun college football season.
Yeah.
We won a shit ton of money. Thank you to MyBookie, even though they're not thanking us. I haven't heard one thing from those guys.
I haven't either. But stay tuned for the jersey.
It was a massive deposit, and they got... I literally not one email, nothing from those guys.
Well,
nothing.
The good news is that by the time this show comes out, Wednesday, so tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, we'll this show will come out today when you're hearing it right now, and then tomorrow, Thursday, we're gonna fucking burn that goddamn Notre Dame jersey.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Are we doing that on Instagram or Facebook Live? What are we doing?
Well, yeah, we'll do it on Facebook.
Yeah,
Facebook Live. Well, and then we'll post it on Instagram as well, obviously. Yeah. Many highlight videos of Rudy's jersey being burned. And again, we wouldn't do it if the Notre Dame fans weren't so fucking delusional.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to burn a piece of history.
No.
Matter of fact, I'll double down on this because, you know, we're doing the leagues next year. You and I said we're going to do two underdog leagues next year and two champions leagues. That way there's more people. I will do this for the underdogs league. I will buy a signed Rudy helmet for the underdogs league. That way I'm just not burning Rudy in vain. Like, we'll give somebody else a win, a chance to win a Rudy helmet, signed Rudy helmet next year. But this jersey's got to fucking go.
Yeah, it's got to go.
Yeah. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Sports Companion Show. Good night, everyone.